Today, we're starting a series entitled Belonging, Believing, Behaving, Gateway and Me, where we'll be looking at Gateway as a church, where we've been and where we are heading, and how each of us can play a role in that. As we start out on this journey together looking at church life, we need to remind ourselves about whose idea church was anyway. Please watch this video with me.
So one day Jesus is like way north of the city of Jerusalem, right outside of Caesarea Philippi. He's with his guys. And I don't know what they were talking about, but maybe they're talking about the city Caesarea Philippi. It got renamed about the time that Jesus would have gotten his learner's license, which in the United States is around 15 years old. And so they're outside the city, and they're walking into the city, and it was renamed for Caesar Augustus on the day, the year that he had died. And then Jesus turns to his guys, and he asked them a question you should not ask your friends, because you may not like the answer. He says, Caesar Augustus, yeah, but who do people say I am? You should not try this, okay? What's the word on the street about me? Well, who do people say I am? And you know the answer. It's like, well, they all thought he was, people think you're some reincarnated person, like an Old Testament prophet, or maybe even John the Baptist hadn't been gone that long, but he's back. You know, people have all kinds of theories about who you are, Jesus. And Jesus said, remember what he said? He said, what about you guys? Who do you say that I am? Peter, I say raise his hand. I don't think Peter ever raised his hand to you. He just blurted it out. He said, I'll tell you who I think you are. I think you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turns to Peter specifically, and he said, you didn't come up with that answer on your own. That was given you from above. And on this rock, from now on, you're not just Peter. And on this rock, and then he said something that I'm not really even sure how it made it out of the first century. I'm not even sure how it made it into written form. Because at the moment, it must have seemed completely insignificant and irrelevant. And Jesus says, and on this rock, I'm going to build my congregation, my assembly, and death won't stop it. On this rock, and if you're Catholic, you think it's Peter, and that's fine. And if you're not Catholic, you don't think it's Peter, and that's fine too. I'll tell you why in a minute. But on this rock, I'm going to build a congregation, an assembly, and death, my death. And he would look at his gang and say, and your death isn't going to stop it. And then they walked on in toward the city. And I don't know what went through their mind. Maybe they didn't even, you know, barely paid attention. You know, Matthew's over there trying to write everything down. And John, did you get that? You know, I didn't get, what was your version? You know, I don't know how we got it. At the moment, it must have seemed so insignificant. And I mean, you know, I'm going to build a gathering. I'm going to build a people. And they're like, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 12 of us, including Judas. So yeah, you're going to have to kind of get this thing going. On this rock, I'm going to build a gathering. And nothing, not even my death, not even your death, is going to stop it. And here we are. And they had no idea. They could not have even imagined it. And to Gary's point, it's so unfortunate. And I'm not trying to change everything, you know, the signs out in front of all the buildings where we gather. So don't take this any more than the way I mean it. But it's so unfortunate that the term church in its current form showed up in our English New Testament. Because the term that Jesus used in Aramaic that probably eventually became the Greek term ekklesia does not mean what the German word that became church means. It was hundreds of years later that this little German word began to, you know, was the word that people began to use as it related to the gathering of Jesus followers. And it was a word, the German word actually meant a place. But Jesus didn't predict a place. Jesus predicted a people, a gathering, a congregation, a movement. And William Tyndale came along in the 16th century, you know this story. And he decided he would translate the Bible from the original languages, from Greek and Hebrew, into English. And he was the first person to take the time, the amazing amount of time it must have taken him in those days, by candlelight, to translate the New Testament into English so that people could actually, imagine this, read their Bibles. And he got to the word ecclesia, and his brain must have immediately gone to church. Then he realized, that's not what this word means. This isn't a location. This isn't the house of the Lord, which is what that German term that came from a Dutch term that came from an, you know, it goes on and on and on. It's actually back to a completely different Greek word that meant something differently. He's translating the New Testament. He says, wait a minute, this church, that's German. That's a place. That's a location. This is a people. This is ecclesia. So in the first translation of the English Bible, you don't find the word church. You find the word congregation, an assembly. A growing group of people, because that's exactly what Jesus predicted. And here's something even more significant than that. If we were to take all of you who are Protestant, put you on one side of the room, and all of you who are non-Protestant on the other, then if we were to take out of those groups, take all the Baptists who think you're right about everything and put you in one part of the room, and put all of us community church people who know we're right about everything, and put all the Presbyterians in another part of the room because they can't help what they think. And if we took all the Methodists, and then if we took all the Reform people and put them together, and the informed people and the conformed people, you know, if we took all the different groups that are represented here and all over the world, and we put you in your little pocket, and we ask the question, what's the one thing that we have in common? It wouldn't be how we sing or how we worship or how we take the offering. We could go to war over baptism, couldn't we? Using the same scriptures, hate each other in Jesus' name because the way we baptize. Did you know the only thing, the epicenter, the common ground for every single one of us, this is amazing to me, is exactly what Jesus predicted that dusty hot afternoon after outside of Caesarea Philippi. That I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I'm going to build a gathering around that one single idea, and nothing is going to stop it, and nothing stopped it. And you are a part of the fulfillment of that extraordinary statement that afternoon outside of Jerusalem. Now, I wish, and I'm not good at it, I haven't figured this out yet. I wish that I could show up in the house, household of every single person that attends any of our churches, and as they're getting ready for church, to say before you walk out the door, think about it. Think about what you're about to do. You are about to assemble with an assembly of people that is a fulfillment of a 2,000-year-old prophecy that should have never come true, because you are a part of the gathering. In Jesus' name, do you know how significant this is? Do you know how amazing this is? Do you know it's absolutely astonishing that the church survived the first century? And then Jesus went to the cross and died and rose from the dead. And then these famous words that we've all preached on and taught so many times, he gathered all of them together. And he said, before I leave, here's what I need for you to understand. All authority. Now, what an arrogant statement this is. If this isn't true, then this should have been the end. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's a big statement. All of it, all of it. Therefore, I want you to go and make disciples of. Now, I'm just telling you, we've heard this and preached this so many times, it just goes right over our head. Imagine you're gathered with about 120 or 150, maybe 200 people on a hillside. And your recently crucified and resurrected Savior, an outlaw, surrounded now by outlaws, says to you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into all, I want you to make disciples of all nations. Yes, you in the back. How in the world are we going to get there? I'm not finished yet. I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing
baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And yes, people are going to argue about that for centuries, but just do it anyway. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, I want you to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And here's the big part. Matthew, don't miss this part. And I'm going to be with you always as you make disciples of all nations to the very end of the age. And then he left. Why are we here? How could this have possibly worked? How did it survive? How did it come true? Why are we gathered? How is it we even heard the name of Jesus? How could there even be a New Testament? How is it there are four accounts of his life? How did it happen? Simple. Because when Jesus made his promise, he didn't blink, he didn't flinch. He knew they had absolutely no idea the significance of this statement. He said, but let me just give you a heads up about what's coming. I am going to build a gathering of people in my name. In red and yellow, black and white, and lots of different languages and lots of different nations and lots of different styles. And some will be loud and some will be soft and some will be dogmatic and some will have questions and some will wear this and some will wear that. But at the end of the day, there's one thing they're all going to have in common, guys. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now I want you to go into all nations and tell them, now before we jump ahead, we can't, but to the best of our ability, imagine you're standing. Have you visited the Holy Land? It's not really holy. It's just hot. Have you been there? It's dusty. I mean, it was the armpit of the Roman Empire. Nobody wanted to go there. And they're standing there in this undesirable piece of real estate. And he says, now, I want you to go into all nations, you fugitives from the law. And I want you to tell everybody what you've heard me say to you. And they looked around like, how? Who's going to listen to us? What are we going to say? Let's all go around and name all the nations we know. You go first. Now, we got five. We know of the 120 of us, we can come up with five. How many of you have been more than 30 miles from home? You know, none of us. Why? How did this work? How did this come about? How did it survive? Why are we here? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus made a promise. And he has been at the epicenter of the activity of the local church for 2,000 years. And you can believe or not believe. You can participate or not participate. You can behave or misbehave. It does not matter. Because Jesus has been and will continue to build his church. And nobody's death is going to stop it. Not even his own.
I've watched that DVD a number of times and that message just still moves me. I think that's just amazing, isn't it? That reminder that church wasn't our idea. Jesus said that he would build his church and he's been building his church for over 2,000 years. And he's building his church, his gathering of people here in Caerphilly right now. See, Jesus is building his church. And it's our amazing privilege to be a small part of that. You and I are part of that. The fact alone should fill you with joy and awe today. You see, we are a gathering for his glory. A people drawn together to worship him, as we've been doing earlier. To learn more of his love for us. To respond to that love by growing more like him and by reaching out to those who don't know him. We're to be a people who demonstrate in all manner of ways the reality of what Jesus taught, that not only is the kingdom of God real, but the kingdom of God is here today. Matthew 3:2 tells us that, and then Jesus goes on to say, therefore repent and draw near to the one who draws near to you. See, Jesus is at the centre of his church. He's at the centre of our church. And as Andy said in that video, The centre of our church, and indeed all our church life, needs to be Jesus, the Son of God, the one who came to this earth, walked among us, was put to death, and in allowing himself to be crucified, gave his life for ours, that we might be restored into a relationship with him. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father and desires to have a relationship with us. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father and he desires to have a relationship with you and me. That's who we're putting at the centre of, I was going to say, our church, but actually, if you haven't got it yet, it's his church. You see, he needs to be at the centre on a Sunday. He needs to be at the centre when we meet in our small groups. He needs to be at the centre even when we meet, as we did yesterday, at things like the treasure hunt. You see, as we gather together, wherever it is, the way we speak, the way we behave, the way we act should point to that reality that we have a risen Saviour whose kingdom knows no end, whose love is boundless, and who desires a relationship with us and to be part of our lives. I mean, I don't know about you, those of you there, wasn't it great yesterday to see 120 plus people of all ages just up there at the ranch enjoying themselves and having fun? It gives me a real thrill when I look around and I see kids aged 3, people aged 33, and it wasn't me, people aged 63, I've no idea whether there's a 63-year-old there, but of all ages, just enjoying themselves. And you know, it didn't matter whether you were young or old, it didn't matter whether you were single or married, whether you had a family or you came on your own, everyone was just up there enjoying themselves and being part of a community. And you know, community is at the heart of what we do, because community was at the heart of what Jesus did. I believe, and you go and look in the Bible and look at Jesus' life, community was on his heart and in his heart. Whether it was going to a wedding in Cana, whether it was meeting in a house with Martha and Mary, whether it was fishing with his friends on Lake Galilee, whether it was having tea with Zacchaeus, or whether it was feeding 5,000 people on a mountainside, Jesus loved meeting with people and enjoying being in their presence and talking and spending time with them. And that's at the heart of what we are as a church. Community is on our heart. And I just love, again, this reminder that Jesus has been at the center of his church for 2,000 years, the center of the local church. And you know, I speak for the other leaders here, we earnestly desire and we want to make sure that Jesus is at the heart of Gateway Church here in Caerphilly. So over the next few weeks and months, as we go look at this series that Maria's going to put up on the screen now, we're going to explore what it means to be part of this gathering. You may be able to see it, you may not, but I've given you, you're all going to get a handout with all this on it, right? So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at what it means to belong to a church. What do we believe as Gateway Church and what do we believe as Christians? And why and how are we to behave as a result? And the topics are there. We're going to talk about believing in Jesus, the King of his kingdom, believing in Christ's plan for bringing his kingdom through us, what it means to be worshippers, to be praying, to believe, behave, and how we should live, what it means to be going out in the community, and last but not least, what it means to be the ecclesia, the gathering of people in Caerphilly, meeting with other gatherings of people in Caerphilly. That's also at the heart of what we are, to be part of the broader church in Caerphilly. And you know, that's why we can stand here with Patrick and Midge today and we can pray for them, we bless them, because they are going to bless another gathering of Jesus' people in this town. And our heart is that together we are a people who will be there demonstrating the glory and love of our Jesus. That's what this is about. And you know, it's not going to be a purely theoretical exercise. You'll be delighted to know that we're going to suggest ways in which you can put all this into practice through the weeks as we go through that. So we're going to talk about principles and practices, and it's an opportunity for us all together, I include myself in this, to look at how we partner with Jesus in this great adventure. Is that okay? Yes, Mark, it's okay. Okay, well, I'm really excited about this. I really am. I can honestly say I'm buzzing about this and what's going on and just what I see Jesus doing in the town and in the lives of so many people at the moment. And I'm really expectant about what God's going to do in our lives
as we allow his Holy Spirit to work in us. After all, church was his idea, right? And he's building this gathering, and nothing will stop it. So that's what I wanted to leave you with today. Just that, whose idea was it anyway? And you should be excited. I mean, go out of here realizing that that's what you're part of. That's what we're part of. And in closing now, I want to say a couple of things just to close. By the way, I think this is a Welsh couple. Doesn't couple in Welsh mean at least three? I don't know. Anyway, a couple of things. So just want to leave you with this. If you're here today and you're not sure about this thing called church, you're not sure whether church is actually the right thing for you at all, then I invite you to come along and explore this with us. Find out about what church is really about. Actually, find out about who church is really about. You see, Jesus is building this people, building a gathering, a community, and I know he wants you to be part of that. We want you to be part of a community of believers too. So if that's you, I invite you to come along and explore with us. If you've been to church in the past and been put off church for some reason, maybe even you've been hurt by someone that's gone in a church before or something someone said, and sadly, let's be honest, we know that does happen, and I'm sure, well, I know, I have said things which have upset people in the past, and I apologize for that, but the blessing and the difficulty about church is it's full of imperfect people. We're a gathering, right? And I won't even ask for somebody to put their hands up who thinks they're perfect. We're all a work in progress, and therefore, sadly, we do say stupid things. We do sometimes upset each other. But you know, the Bible tells us to forgive others as he has forgiven us. And if you've been hurt in the past, then I deeply apologize for the church for that. But I invite you again to come along and actually remember that it's not about, first of all, the people in the church, it's about the person in the church. And come along and fall in love with the person of Jesus again. And finally, if I'm saying all this, and actually I'm saying things like, you know, we've got a risen Savior who wants to know you personally, and you're sitting there and going, well, actually, I don't really have a personal relationship with this person called Jesus. I know I don't. Then I just want to tell you as I wrap up that actually Jesus wants to be part of your life. He has been drawing people to himself right the way through history. The Bible stories are all about Jesus restoring people into relationship with him. And if you're sitting here today and you're feeling that Jesus is drawing you to himself, that's what he does, because he loves you and he wants to be part of your life. And if that's you today, then I'm just going to pray a simple prayer as we finish. If you'd like to pray that with me, feel free to do so. It would be great if you did. And if you do, then please come and tell me afterwards. I'd love to pray with you and encourage you in that. So if this is you, just pray this simple prayer. It goes like this. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life for me. I'm sorry that I've been leading my life my way. I just say now that I want you to be part of my life. I thank you that you gave your life for me. And I say, Lord Jesus, I want to live my life your way from now on. In your name, amen. Okay, and the Bible says, by the way, that Jesus is a wonderful picture. Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks, and if anyone opens his heart, and if you've done that now, he says he will come in and be with you. So if you prayed that prayer, please come and see me afterwards. That's it for today. That's all I wanted to share. We're going to go into this